Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Rob Greaves here, and thank you for joining me on this second and final part of the story of Gladys Buchan. Born on 27th of November 1940 at a home in Carlton, Gladys was brought up in a loving and caring home and was allowed the freedom to explore her environment whilst being encouraged in her own development. Her mother was instrumental in her exposing her to music, and eventually Gladys topped her music theory class, and only the Great Depression stopped her ambition of becoming a music teacher. She speaks fondly of her father, a man who had great influence upon her. This week, we're introduced to another man who would also have a great influence upon her and her future, as we learn of her meeting, marrying, having a family with, and sadly burying, her husband James. We hear a talk of what were, in her words, the happy days. And her stories continue to entertain and inform, like the one about her and James, fondly known as John, towing a very heavy caravan and running out of petrol, and John using kerosene as fuel. Oh, they don't make cars like that anymore. Settle back now as we start with Gladys reminiscing about her Saturday music lessons.
Every Saturday was music.
Yes.
And we went for theory alone. And we'd start at 9 and end at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Goodness, that's a long time.
They had a nice backyard, and so we'd take our lunch with us and have it. I didn't need to, but I wanted my lunch around with the others too.
Of course.
So.
To what age did you do this? Until what age?
I started at 10.
Right.
And I finished at 15.
That's a long time. You must have been very good when you finished.
Well, I got my diploma.
Got your diploma.
Yes. And unfortunately, I was going to teach, and my father bought, he got the brass plate all ready and everything and put it up. And I got two pupils and the depression.
And that stopped everything because people
stopped
had it. No money.
No,
that's
no,
right.
No. Oh. So I was forced to go to work because the mill closed down.
That's as it would have, yes.
Yes, and we moved from there, and we went to live at Preston in half a house.
Yes.
And I still went to my music teacher every Saturday and I had my lesson. So I just really did it that way.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have any hope of getting pupils.
Oh, nobody had
my
the money.
My dad was one of those, you see, the mill closed down and that was it.
There were so many people unemployed,
yes,
right there.
And we had to move. So I had to get a job.
What did you get a job doing?
Well, I had a cousin who worked at Cravenay Cigarettes, and I had a cousin who worked at Brighton Mays Matches. So I started with the matches. And you had to pick them up and let them go through. If you saw a broken box,
yeah,
or anything that you should take out, you had to stop the machine. But they didn't, a lot of them.
And
they lost
running
a finger.
Oh, yes.
And so my parents, I worked there for a couple of years. It was good. They gave you a free lunch, a nice roll filled, and every day you got a bowl of soup, which was different.
Goodness. And this would
this was
be
Brighton Mays.
That would have been also something very special in the Depression to have that sort of given to you, wouldn't
it? Oh, yes. And and a piece of fruit.
Goodness me.
Everything that was there, the roll to have with the soup and so on. And then we used to walk around to the shops and have a look at the poke our noses in the shops we liked to look at.
Of course.
Which were usually clothes, I imagine.
Yes, things you couldn't afford, but nice to look at, yes.
And anyway, the time came and I can't remember what happened there, I had another cousin who worked I moved to Craven A and
you went across
turf.
With cigarettes. Oh, yeah. And turf cigarettes, my yes. goodness me.
Well, I had a cousin there, so she said, your mum is worried about that. You'll lose your fingers.
Yes.
And I said, I won't. And she said, well, there is a job there. Would you like to come? And so I went there and stayed there until I was married. And, of course, you didn't continue after
when
you
were married.
Were
married.
No.
Women didn't work, did they?
That's right.
Did you take up smoking?
No, I never smoked.
Well,
no.
That was quite amazing, isn't yes. it, given you were in
no,
the factory.
I couldn't stand the smell.
Oh, good for you.
Well, the smell of Turkish tobacco is very strong.
Right, yes.
And I was down there. That was where the machine
yes.
was built up onto a platform, and I was up there throwing the
tobacco in
while it rolled.
Yes.
So
cured you of cigarettes.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes.
You mentioned getting married. What was your husband's name?
James? Robert Buchan.
How did you meet James?
Through my friends that when we went to build at Preston, the Congregational Church decided to build on the block next door.
Right.
And my mother said, take Ron, that was my little brother, down and enroll him, and you can enroll yourself as well. So down I went, and with a lot of others there, we were picked out, but they said, we want you as teachers, not the other way.
So you're telling us how you met James. So James
yes.
was part of the church?
Yeah, well, his two cousins came to this thing too, you
right.
see, and they became Sunday school teachers, and
right.
I became organist, and I also became superintendent of the kindergarten.
Oh.
And so my weekends were very
full.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And my dad used to say, I don't know why you don't take your bed down there.
But you obviously enjoyed it.
I did. And at one stage, my mother had bought me some patent leather shoes, and I'd only had patent leather once. And a few days afterwards, my mum said, where is your other shoe? And I said, I don't know where it is. And she said, well, it's missing, and you must have put it somewhere. And she was blaming me. And then one day, my dad, whom, by the way, never raised his voice.
Yes, you mentioned that. That's
yes.
right.
He said, I threw something at the cats the other night. The cats were fighting in the churchyard.
Oh, no. And it was your shoe. Did they ever find it?
Yes.
They did. You had a pair of shoes ago. Oh, because you would have been. Patent shoes were very special in those days,
they
weren't
were.
They?
Yes, it was my first pair, and I thought they were marvellous.
Yes.
But the trouble was, I used to get blisters.
Oh.
And my dad used to piggyback me when we went out, because we walked, despite the fact that it would cost from Hoddle Street to the exhibition, you could go for fourpence.
For fourpence. I'm just trying to work out. That'd be, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles, I would think.
Yes.
That's, oh, gee, you couldn't.
Now, we walked.
You walked
we
to
walked
save the money.
There.
Yes.
And we walked home.
Wow. You were very
and,
fit.
And he piggybacked me the last bit.
Good day,
I usually got a blister on my heel from the shoe.
Well, that's a lot of walking in patent shoes, though.
Yes, that is. But no one thought of getting onto trams, you know, unless you really had to.
Yes.
But it was a busy place because they had the shopping centre with the fish shop and everything like that, everything
yes.
you needed. And the shops were good. And Saturday afternoon, I went to the matinee.
Because pictures were a very big thing, weren't they?
Oh, yes.
Every kid wanted
yes,
to go, didn't they?
Yeah, they were big stuff.
Yes.
And when the interval came, it was all right to leave and go outside. But some of them did it during the time, and every time the door opened, the kids would all call out.
That's right.
Shut the door.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, a program that presents the stories of everyday Australians through the recollection of their lives.
Going back to James, you were so busy doing kindergartens and organ work and everything else. How did you find time to go out together?
Well, what happened, the two girls, they were sisters, two sisters, and they came and they became Sunday school teachers.
Yes.
And we palled up.
Uh-huh.
And we were pals until they died.
Goodness me.
And they died very young.
So, of natural causes?
Well, yes, cancer.
Oh, how sad is that?
And the other one was heart. Well, he asked me if I'd go. He was taking their brother into the city every Wednesday night to teach dancing.
Ah.
For him to learn dancing.
Yes.
And he asked me if I would like to come.
Yes.
So I started going, and that's how that started.
So did you and James do much dancing together?
Yes, we went to a lot of dancing. He was a Masonic. He joined the Masonic
Lodge, yes.
Like his dad, and did 60 years and died on the morning of the 60th day.
Goodness me, there's something there, isn't there?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's quite...
He was,
shivers up your spine.
He was sitting there, and he, about 5 o'clock, he said to me, "May I have a tablet?" And I said, "All right, well, once I open the bottle, I can only give you 3
yes.
before I ring St. George's Hospital
yes.
and get an ambulance." So... he was sitting there, and I was about to get the number, I think, when he gave a big sigh and was gone.
Just passed on.
The very day of his 60th.
It sounds very much like it was a very gentle passing, though.
Yes, it was. It was.
He
was
wouldn't just it be fortunate if there. We could all go so gently?
Oh, yes, definitely, yes.
It must have been a very awful moment for you, though, to lose a partner for that many years.
It was, yes, because he had... one day he came in and he went down to the car for something, and he'd been watching the cricket, and I thought it was a long time. And he came back and sat down, just went to his study and
yes.
sat down, and I said, "Oh, I'll make a cup of tea." And he didn't answer, and usually he said something. And I said, "You know, what's the matter?" And he said, like that.
Goodness.
And he couldn't speak.
He'd had a stroke?
Yes. And I got the doctor, and he said it would be never a big one, but it'd be a lot of many
ones. A lot
of
small,
yes,
many ones, yes, yes.
And that's what
just
happened in the finish, of
yeah.
course. He was sitting there, and with the excitement and the nervousness and everything, he probably...
brought one on.
Yes.
When you think back of your life with James,
mm-hmm.
what were some of the big highlights? What were some of the things that come to mind when you think about your life with him?
Oh, I think about when we went to live at Ferntree Gully. His parents, when they came out here, decided they went straight to Hobart at first because his dad was made manager of Waygood Ogus. Oh, that doesn't sound right. You know, the lift people?
Oh, Otis's lifts
yeah,
things. That's
Otis,
right, Otis.
Otis.
Yes.
I couldn't get it.
That's right, Otis. Yes,
yes,
of course.
Yes, well, he had work with them here, and they decided he was so good. Of course, he'd worked on the big ships and everything in Scotland, you know.
Yes.
And so he was made manager, so they moved. And then they wanted us to come over. Well, we waited until we had our first baby, and then we decided to shift over there for a couple of years near them. So I spent 2 years living there.
Whereabouts in Tasmania did you go?
We went to Newtown.
Did you enjoy Tasmania?
I loved it. Loved it. Yes, it was lovely.
How old were you then, roughly?
I was 26.
Oh, you were a young woman with all adventure, wasn't it?
And we used to ride on the trams, and our little boy, Robert, he used to sit on the trams, and we lived in a block of flats, and there were two teenage boys, and their father was manager of the radio station, and one of the boys was a singer, and they used to teach Robert, he was two, they used to teach him, "What's buzzing, cousin? What's cooking, cookie?" And so he'd sit on the tram when I was taking him into the city. And he would say, "What's buzzing, cousin?" And a lady offered him sweets, and he said, "I don't like lollies." And he never did eat lollies.
How amazing
lollies.
Is that?
Yes. He just wanted a chocolate frog in the winter and an ice cream in the summer, and he was happy.
Were you married when the Second World War started?
It wasn't on.
It hadn't started then, when you were married?
No, it hadn't
so
started.
So was James called up for conscripted or did he have to go to fight?
No, he was, what do they call it when they...
Oh, yeah, he was in a reserved occupation.
That's right, he was an electrical engineer.
Oh, right, sorry, yes.
Yeah, so yes. He was in that.
So the war didn't have a big impact on your lives?
It had an impact. The only reason we left there was little Robert broke out in a rash. We went to Blackmans Bay, where you get all the crayfish.
Oh, crayfish, yes, of course.
And we have a photo of him holding a handful of crayfish, and they throw them in and boil them. I couldn't watch it.
No, I couldn't either.
No.
But they say it's quick and painless,
yes,
however.
Yes.
I still can't.
And that was a shilling.
For a crayfish?
A crayfish was a shilling. Oh, we both had our teeth out because everything was free. All medical things were free for us.
Robert got a rash, though, and you had to leave.
Yeah, yes, we couldn't get rid of it.
Goodness
and we went for a holiday and put him in this cot. Someone else must have used it. And he broke out in a rash, and we could never get it right. And in the finish... There was no skin doctor in Hobart.
In Hobart, so you had to come back to the mainland.
That's right.
Did they eventually diagnose it and fix it?
Yes, they did.
Goodness.
When we got back.
When you got back here.
Yes.
Yes.
So we had to go back and live in Melbourne then. And we went to, our first home was Surry Hills. The unit is still there at the tram terminus.
Goodness.
And Barton Avenue, yeah.
Listen to older voices. Revisiting through recollections.
And then we finally went to Ferntree Gully because Jim's parents retired from... His retirement came due, and he decided to take it, and they bought a block of land at Ferntree Gully, and we had a block of land and had built a house there. So we lived next door to them. And they were the happy days.
They were the really happy days.
Yes, they were the happy days with the children because they loved to go for a walk. Jim's mother could... she looked for the eggs... The birds' eggs.
Oh, okay.
And then she blew them.
Yes. And then she'd keep the egg.
Yeah, and they would be walking around with their little boxes with cotton wool in, and they'd be looking at them. They were, really thought
like little treasures.
Yes, little treasures.
Because Ferntree Gully back in those days was really quite an open place, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yes. Well, their best friends ran the second-hand and the houses for sale bit down right at the station.
Right.
And so they went to be back near their old friends. But yes, so we lived side by side.
Very happy days.
Yes, they were, because the children used to wait and for the birds to sit on the porch rung outside. And wait for this bit of steak that Jim's mum used to give them.
Oh, that'd be the kookaburras, probably, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I live near Ferntree Gully now, and the kookaburras still come and eat the meat.
Yes, and they today. Used to sit along, yes. And of course the children thought that was lovely.
Oh, yes.
And we had an Aboriginal lady live in a little tent way up the backyard, and her daughter lived in a four-bedroom house. And they had 16 children.
Goodness me, I thought you came from a big family with 10. You've just been trumped.
Well, she told the grocer that I'd soon be up to her. I got twins.
So did you ever go back to work or...
No, I never went back. Well, you had to give up your work.
I know you did in the early days, yes, that's right.
You had to give up when you left work, yes.
Did you and James ever get the chance to travel?
No, apart from just going back to Tassie and things like that, I think we took more to the beach then and hired a caravan. He worked at Australian Paper Manufacturers after he left the SEC, and he worked there, and they had a caravan. It weighed a ton. And we had Jim's dad's car. He sent it over to us, and we bought it, a Chrysler Plymouth.
Oh, goodness me.
And so it was able to pull us.
I was going to say, because most of the Australian cars weren't that powerful. Chrysler Plymouth, that was like a small tank.
When it rained, I remember our holiday was split, because we went to near Dramana for the beach, and it started to rain, and it rained for a few days. So Jim said, I've got enough petrol to get us over to where the soldiers' thing is down there. Oh, I can't think of it.
Doesn't matter.
And we stayed there until the rain stopped. Then we started home, and we ran out of petrol.
Oh, dear.
And so he put kerosene in with that.
Did it run?
Yeah.
Did
it.
They don't make motors like that anymore.
And there were three caravans came along, and Jim asked for their help to turn the caravan round, and it was on a slant, you see. It was a bit
scary.
Dangerous, really.
Yes.
And, their wives were all of a jitter. They were running around, "Bert, get out, you know, don't stand there."
Did you get it turned around?
They got it turned around, and away we went then and filled it up with the kerosene.
Oh, dear.
And I got home. But, yes, we had some experiences.
Yes.
we met lovely people during that trip. So we made some new friends, the country.
Our time is almost up, and I have a question I'd really like to ask you. It is something special, I think, to live into your 90s.
Mm.
And that represents an awful lot of change. Things have changed a lot over 97 years. What would you look back and think were some of the biggest changes that you've witnessed?
Well, I suppose TV would be one of them, wouldn't it?
TV, that's right, because you grew up, you probably didn't even have a radio when you first grew up, did you?
No.
You were on TV?
No, we had the piano, you know, yes. Which I played, of course. And the wonder of the countryside and how quickly it became inhabited.
Do you know, I have interviewed many people, over 200 people, and I've asked that question and a lot of people, and you're the first person that's ever said that. And, you know, as soon as you said it, I thought that would be a big change.
Well, it was. Yes. You know, in Ferntree Gully alone, we had two sets of triplets. We had twins. And everybody used to say it was the air.
The air, because it was it was very clean, very fresh.
Oh, yes. It was lovely. Yes. I loved it. I loved living there.
Yes.
And as I say, Jim's mum, she was all for nature, you know, because in Scotland they didn't have any grounds or anything. They lived in a tenement.
Yes. So, yes, exactly.
You know, up on the sixth floor.
Really crowded,
with one room where
yes.
they slept and everything, you know. So to them, you know, it would have been goodness.
Yes.
Lovely. But, yes, the children went to school there and everything and made friends, and we still have those friends, yes.
Well, our time is up.
Oh, good.
And I would just like to thank you so very, very much for being on this program. Your story is wonderful and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.